You know, if there's ever a month that you don't want to miss here at ACC, August is the month, because the month of August is the month when we talk about money. And I know how much everyone loves it when the church talks about money. Now, in case you're here for the first time or just visiting, don't get nervous. I promised last week that this was not going to ever be hard sell. My plan really is just to present biblical principles, and then you can decide whether or not you want to take advantage of those biblical principles. Now, when you think about the Bible, it has a lot to say about finances and about money. And I want to remind you, the Bible, it's never anti-money. It's never anti-wealth. But it does offer some very strong cautions, and with good reason. Because all we have to do is think a little bit about all the damage that's been done in our world when people lose their perspective on money. Just this last year, a vast majority of the crimes that were committed in this country happened because of money factors involved in that. Money is a big cause of marital breakups today, one of the largest factors involving that. So money has its issues. Now, when I was growing up, and I grew up here in Colorado, the 4th of July was really just about one of my favorite holidays of the year, and simply because of the fireworks. I mean, I love fireworks. And I didn't just enjoy watching the public firework displays. My real enjoyment came from putting on my own firework displays for my family. And that was back years ago when fireworks were actually legal in Colorado. You can't almost even have sparklers anymore here. And the issue with fireworks is that if you take them for granted, if you don't understand how powerful they can be dangerous and even cause serious injury. And sure enough, one summer, after lighting a fountain and being kind of disappointed because it didn't really do very much, and I was wondering if it was still over, I decided I was going to walk over and kick it just to make sure it worked a little bit better. And wouldn't you know, one of the hot embers fell into my shoe near my ankle. And don't worry, it could have been much worse or more serious, but there was a burn, and now I have a little scar there on my ankle to remind me. And this might be a bit of a stretch for an analogy, but I think in this way, fireworks are a lot like money. They can do some beautiful things and bring lots of enjoyment, but there are some risks involved. And see, money can be problematic because money is powerful, but it's also dangerous. Money is powerful. There are lots you can do with money, but the problem is that it's also dangerous. There's been a lot of people who have been burned by money for all sorts of different reasons. I recently heard about this very wealthy, eccentric man who called three of his best friends to his deathbed and told them that he actually disagreed with the conventional wisdom that says you can't take your money with you when you die. And so he explained his plan for taking his money with him, and that he had selected these three because he trusted them to help fulfill his final wish. And so he took out three envelopes, handed one to each of his friends, and explained that in all three of the envelopes, there was $100,000 in each one of the envelopes. They were instructed to hold the money in trust until his death, and then at his funeral, each would throw the envelope in as they lowered the casket so he could take his money with him. Well, he was on his deathbed, so a short time later, the wealthy eccentric man died, and at his funeral, the three men did as their friend had requested, threw their envelopes in as the casket was lowered into the grave. But by the time they got back from the cemetery, one of the friend's consciences began to get the best of him, and he confessed to the others. He says, "Guys, I feel terrible." He said, "Now, I didn't keep any of the money for myself, but I did take out $50,000 and give it to a charity. And then I threw in the remaining $50,000. The second friend also decided to come clean. And he said, "You know, I kind of feel terrible too, but I didn't keep the money for myself either. I did take out $75,000 and gave it to a homeless shelter." Well, the third friend was kind of appalled at the dishonesty of his other two friends. He says, "You guys, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves, not putting in the entire amount." He said, "When I threw in my envelope, at least I had a clear conscience, because when I threw in my envelope, I included a check for the entire amount." Money's dangerous, isn't it? And if you think about it, money is powerful and money is dangerous because money is a great servant, but it is a seductive master. It's a great servant. Money does great things, but it's a very seductive master. And as long as you know who's in charge and it's you, you should be okay when it comes to this issue of money. But the problem is sometimes we kind of want to put it in charge. And when it's in charge, it does terrible things. In Ecclesiastes 5:10, it says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. And so you ask people today who are in pursuit of money, and they'll say, well, how much is enough? And the answer almost standardly is just a little bit more. Money is also a great resource, but it is a terrible ambition. It's a great resource, money is, but it's a terrible ambition. Money obviously is very helpful. It puts food on the table. It provides a roof over our heads. It's a great resource, but you are playing with fire when it becomes your ambition. The Apostle Paul, writing to his young apprentice Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, says, for the love of money, and I want to make sure we know it doesn't say the money is the root of all evil. It's that love. It's when it becomes our ambition. It says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And some people who got eager for money and made it their ambition, they've wandered from the faith and they've pierced themselves with many griefs. And I would just imagine that most of us in this room today probably know people who live with at least some regret because they made money and the pursuit of it the ambition of their lives. Money also is a great tool for us to use, but it's a lousy security blanket. It's a great tool that we can use to do great things, but it's a lousy security blanket. And that's what a lot of people let money become in their lives, is like a security blanket. And the reason it's a lousy security blanket is because it can be gone in a moment. We can have all the money we think we need. And a lot of people, you remember in the downturn in 07 and 08 and 09, they lost a lot of things. That's why I love Proverbs 23:5 paints a great word picture for us here. It says, cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Now, there is an antidote to the negative effects of money, and it's something called generosity. That's why we're in this series called The Great Giveaway. Money tends to lose its grip on us when we lessen our grip on it. And that's the power of generosity. Money is powerful, but so is generosity. And here's really the difference. Generosity is powerful, but it's always beneficial. It's beneficial. When we become generous, there are great benefits that come from being generous. And that's probably why generosity receives this incredible endorsement from Jesus when he's quoted as saying, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. That's a powerful statement about generosity. Now, having said that, what might we say about that? It's probably easier said than done. I mean, we hear those words, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We're like, I don't know, I kind of like receiving. That's a pretty good deal, but it's hard to actually put into place. And so this series is about helping us be able to get it done. It's about making a change, changing the way that we perceive and think about money, changing the way that we manage the resources that God has entrusted to us to steward. Now, when Jesus makes a statement like that, maybe it causes a question in your mind. What does Jesus know about money and possessions that we don't? Well, what Jesus knows is that generosity is a life-changing force. It creates and generates some powerful effects. And today what I want to do is talk about the difference it makes when you and I crank up what I would call the generosity generator. What does giving generate? We're going to look at five things today that giving generates in our lives, why it is so beneficial. And the first thing we know that giving generates is that it generates blessing for other people. Now, that's going to sound like, well, what about me? We'll get there, but it generates blessing for others. Generosity can have an amazing impact on the lives of other people. And I know that because I've been on the receiving end of some amazingly generous acts that have been demonstrated to me. And I've shared with you some of those stories, and so I thought rather than just sharing another of my stories, I'd actually have you watch this incredibly powerful story.
You know how sometimes it feels like life just happens? You know, just random things seem to fill your day. Things with little or no consequence to anyone else. I mean, I know God's in control of my life, but I never really saw how much He was weaving my story with other people's stories, and really, into His story. Well, that's all changed. It was a cold day, the kind where you really don't want to have some long conversation outside with someone, especially with someone you don't really know. But that's exactly what God had in mind. Amy and I had just eaten lunch at Dublin's downtown Franklin, and we were walking to the car and we see this couple that I thought I recognized from church. It would have been awkward just to walk by them and not say anything, so we stopped and said hey and did the whole yeah, you guys go to fellowship thing, whatever. Well, we start talking and the whole Dave Ramsey thing comes up. They asked us where we were in the process, and I told them that so far we paid off $60,000 and still had $10,000 left to go. They asked us what we would do when we were debt-free, and I laughed and told them, well, I told my kids I'd buy them a trampoline, what we really wanted to adopt, and we committed to being debt-free before we did. The whole conversation only lasted about 3 minutes. It was like, nice to meet you. That was random. Well, the next day, that random person shows up at my office with this brand new trampoline. I couldn't believe it. It was like, my kids are gonna freak. I set it up that night, and my kids jumped on that thing for 4 hours. I mean, we didn't even know these people. They didn't have to do that. I mean, really, that's pretty generous. Well, the next day, I get an email from the same lady saying, oh, you guys seem like a sharp couple, and we'd love to come by and talk to you about something. I emailed her back and said, that sounds like a multi-level marketing proposal. And if it was, we really weren't interested. Of course, she says it's not that sort of deal, but she was really persistent. She even called Amy. Amy had been sick, and it really wasn't a great time to have company over. Our house is a wreck, and we didn't feel like picking it up. We said everything short of, please don't come over to my house. So they show up, and I'm like, here we go. Let's get this over with. Don't say yes to anything. I couldn't believe they sunk their claws into us for that trampoline to get us involved in some pyramid scheme. Anyway, so we small talked for about 5 minutes, and then right when I thought they were about to drop the bomb, they did. But it wasn't the bomb I was expecting. So the lady says, well, we told you we'd only need a few minutes, and I really don't know how to say this, but we want to pay off your $10,000 left in debt so you guys can adopt. She pulls out her checkbook and goes, how do you spell your guys' names? What? Are you kidding me? Are you for real? I mean, who does that? Who writes somebody a check for $10,000 and gives it to people they don't even know? So they give us a check and they said, just don't act weird around us at church and just don't tell anybody it was us. And they drove off. I mean, Amy and I stood there for 10 minutes in total shock. And we cried and we screamed and we ran all over the yard and the house. Unbelievable. I mean, seriously, it was beyond belief. We realized 9 months later when we brought Malaya home. The check they wrote us was dated 9 months prior to Malaya's due date. They gave us that money right about the time our daughter was conceived. It was like God was saying, I have a baby out there for you right now. I'm not waiting around another 2 years for you to pay off that debt. We felt called to adopt, but we simply couldn't afford to do it on our own. We found that this random couple had already adopted 4 children and felt a calling to continue to serve through adoption. Rather than bringing more children into their home, they decided to help others adopt. It didn't just happen. It wasn't random at all. God knew His plan. He had just invited us to walk with Him through this process. He was weaving our callings, our stories together for us to love and to care for each other, to make a beautiful tapestry for His glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Generosity is powerful, and it's always beneficial. In fact, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to some Christians in the city of Corinth, and they had committed to give an offering to help some people in town called Macedonia, a place called Macedonia. And 2 Corinthians 9:12, he just reminds him, he said, hey, the service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing with many expressions of thanks to God. Generosity is so powerful. It's also powerful because giving generates kingdom resources. The first century church was able to reach as broadly as it did because people generously supported the work of church planning, for example, through the Apostle Paul, and they gave so that the kingdom could expand. And so Paul writes to some Christians in Philippi who had been supporting him and said, hey, I've received full payment and more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. Their gifts were allowing the kingdom of God to be able to expand. And when people get serious about being generous, it always moves the kingdom of God forward. And the expansion of God's kingdom always requires financial resources. And I've got a picture just a couple months ago. We had Vacation Bible School here. This room was packed with kids. And the only reason that Academy Christian Church is able to do the ministry that we do is because so many in this church family give generously. I want to just remind you, this year, almost over $250,000 is going towards our mission program that's going to be going here and locally in this country and around the world, helping the mission of God go forward. Generosity is powerful because it generates kingdom resources. It's also powerful because it generates faith. It generates faith in us. See, generosity is going to require every one of us to exercise our faith muscle when and if we decide to return a regular portion of our income back to God. And that seems to be the plan that we see unfolded in Scripture. And God has offered an incredible challenge in His Word. We're told in Malachi chapter 3, or if you want to pronounce it in the fancy Italian way, Malachi 3:10. Yeah, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that they may be food in my house. He says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Now, if you're wondering what a tithe is, it's pretty significant. A tithe is 10% of your income. And when people hear about making a commitment to give that regularly, they'll say, wow, I'm struggling to make it on 100% of what I'm bringing home. There's no way I could make it on 90%. And so for a lot of people, maybe even some of you sitting here today, it's a huge faith crisis to even think about it. But this is the only place that I know of in the Bible where God actually encourages His people to put Him to the test. He said, you can test Him in this. And I think the reason He's so adamant about this is found actually in His own description of those who aren't willing to do so. And here's how God describes it just in the two verses previously of Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Here's what He writes. He says, will a mere mortal rob God? And yet you rob me. And you ask, well, how are we robbing you, God? And He says, in tithes and offerings, you're under a curse, the whole nation, because you're robbing me. Has it ever felt sometimes like your finances were under a curse? Or has it ever felt impossible for you to get ahead, or maybe even just to get even? Has it ever felt like your finances or your desires were out of control? Well, if you aren't experiencing financial peace in your life, but instead are struggling with financial stress, it could be a variety of reasons, but one of the places you ought to look is right here. See, Billy Graham once said that whenever he talks to people that are facing financial problems, he always asks them two questions. And they're pretty simple questions. He asks them, do you pray and do you tithe? Now, we're covering the tithing part in this series. I want to let you know that coming up in September, for 7 weeks, we're going to be doing a series on prayer, so we're going to try to help you cover that as well. You'll want to be a part of that. But I am absolutely convinced that tithing is a critical step towards financial freedom. And that's why, honestly, I would preach on tithing regardless of the financial position of the church. And so why is it so important to God that we tithe? He obviously doesn't need our financial resources in order to survive. And yet He plainly says, you're robbing me. You're stealing from me. So how exactly could God's people rob Him? Well, if you think about it, when God's people don't bring their tithes and their offerings to Him, they're robbing God of the opportunity to provide for them and to bless them. That's what they're robbing him of. See, God wants to be able to provide for his people. And when we do what we've been told to do, we're promised a blessing. When we don't do what he's told us to do, at least in this area, we experience a curse. God would like to provide for us and open the floodgates of heaven, he says, for us. But that's not going to happen until we first put our trust in him and then obey him. I recently heard about this single mom who saw God do miracles in her life when she finally decided to cultivate this generous heart. Now, she'd come out of a very abusive marriage, had to work 2 to 3 jobs to support herself and her daughter. And she remembers being challenged to honor God and tithing during this kind of terrible time in her life. And so, being such a challenge, she tried negotiating maybe a 4 or 5% tithe for a while. But then she got serious. And when she got serious, God's blessings began to flow. And she said, you know, sometimes a bill would just be less than I expected to be. Or I'd find an error in my budget that would give me a little extra to work with. It was still hard to tithe and pay my bills sometimes, but God always provided. And then she discovered Financial Peace University. Some of you are familiar with that, Dave Ramsey. She took the class. She learned how to be financially wise. And then she said the doors started to open for her. She got this temporary job that enabled her to cut back from 3 jobs to 1. That job eventually turned into a full-time job where she got a substantial pay raise and benefits. She was able then to go back to school and finish her degree, and the doors just continued to open for her. And she believes that that was all triggered by her willingness to obey God from the very beginning. And see, here's the point of all this. When things get bad, that's when a lot of people bail on God. And when they bail on honoring God by being generous, they lose his blessing. And when it's hard is when you need God's blessing and protection the most. And one sure way to attract the blessing of God is to obey him. Now, I actually enjoy getting to teach on this topic because every time I do, I discover that more people have an opportunity to obey God's word and more people get blessed when they do. Tithing blesses people in every income strata. And over the years, I've had so many people verify that when they became obedient in this area of their lives, God blessed them even beyond their expectation. Generosity is powerful. It's also powerful because when we give, it generates what I would call generational generosity. Now, you ought to know, we grew up in a very modest home. My dad was a school teacher. Mom usually stayed home with the 4 of us kids. And so we always had what we needed, but we really didn't have hardly any extra at all. And yet I always remember my father committed to give, and he would sit down at the beginning of the month when he got his paycheck, and he'd write out a check every week so that he could put something in the offering. And then he often went beyond that. My father was a very generous man. And you know, that's the kind of legacy that I'd like to leave for my children. I would like my children to be able to think of me as a generous man. And you know, someday my children are going to have the opportunity maybe to speak at my funeral. And they'll probably have to apologize for me because there are things that I didn't get right. But I would hope that one of the things that they could say was, you know, my dad had a generous spirit in his life. But you know, that's only going to happen if I act generously and if I act generously in front of them. Because, you know, a generous heart is much more likely to be caught than it is to be taught. We can tell our kids they need to be generous, but are we really showing our kids how important it is to be generous? We are always setting some kind of example of generosity, good or bad, and our children are watching us. But giving generates generational generosity. Now, we're back to the last one, down to the last one, and I've saved the last one for last because, honestly, it should be last. Because if this one was first, it can't be the main goal, or it would make it all about us. But giving is powerful because it actually does generate blessing for yourself. It generates blessing for yourself. And again, I could share with you so many ways that I've been blessed when I've been able to give, but I think it'd probably be more helpful if you just watch the story.
You know how God sometimes speaks to you out of the blue and asks you to do something sort of random? Well, that's exactly how I felt one Sunday when I was asked to pick up a card with a name on it for a pastor appreciation gift. God just showed up and told me he wanted to do something special for this guy, and somehow I would be involved. I didn't know what it was, but I knew it had to be something more than the $25 gift card I was thinking about. At that moment, I knew I was about to be pushed outside of my comfort zone. Boy, I had no idea.
2 days later, I had this doctor appointment, and my wife was with me. It ended early, and since we are rarely without any of our 5 kids, I said, hey, let's have some lunch together. We are still new to the area, so after lunch, we decided to shop some and then head back to the car.
As we turned around, there he was, this guy with his wife, the one who God had just told me days before that he wanted to do something for. And I'm thinking, I really don't know these people, but I know that God said something special was going to happen. So we talked about stuff at church where we had just heard Dave Ramsey speak. They talked about how they had been working for 9 years to get out of their debt, but that they had $10,000 more to go, and it felt like this huge rock in their life. He said, as soon as we're out of debt, we want to adopt. But we promised our kids that they could have a trampoline first, and then we would adopt. So we said our goodbyes, and I was thinking, thank you, God. I get it. I know exactly what you want me to do. We got in the car and I was so excited. I said to my husband, I know what we need to do. Let's go buy them a trampoline.
Why don't we just give them $10,000?
Are you serious? Honey, we can't just give people money like that. Money changes things and does weird stuff to people.
Why can't we give them money? People have done that for me and it was okay. Besides, we have it. Listen, all I know is that when I heard them speak, I heard God say in a very clear way, take away their debt.
I had to think about it for a second. Giving away $10,000 had never crossed my mind. I really wrestled wondering what God wanted us to do. Here I am with 5 children. It wasn't like there was a lot of extra money sitting around, and my husband worked so hard for our family. But God revealed to me that though I had plans to make home improvements and invest in this literal earth, he wanted me to make an eternal investment for his kingdom. I knew then what we had to do and began to get anxious to follow God's call.
So we called him up and said, hey, we want to come by and talk to you about something. We promise it will only take a minute. When we drove up though, we could tell they weren't sure about what to think of us. Are we gonna sell them something or what?
So I just kind of blurted out, Lance, Amy, we don't really know how to say this, but we just want to give you $10,000. We told them that there are no strings attached, that God just wanted to bless them. Oh, and we also told them, don't act weird around us around church and don't tell anyone it was us. As I stood there, I'm thinking, wow, what a tremendous thrill and total joy. Not just to be giving someone money, but to play a part and be included in the secret plans of the God of this universe. The giving part of the story was fun, but that was just the beginning. In less than a year, God led Lance and Amy to adopt a beautiful baby girl named Malaya. And because God wove Lance and Amy's life into ours, we welcomed our 9th child, Olivia Grace, born April 21st, 2008, into our family. But this story, this just keeps getting better. And to think, I was thinking of a $25 gift card.
What an amazing story, and just a reminder of how powerful generosity is and can be. And some of you might be sitting out there, well, hey, I'd love for somebody to give me $10,000. And we think about other people being generous to us. And, you know, the idea is we need to start being generous ourselves, no matter where we're at, start being generous. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be poured into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Now, if you are a true follower of Jesus, then you recognize that giving is a sacred thing. And that's why you and I need to take this very seriously. But as we just wrap up our time together this morning, I want you to think about sometime down the road, it's going to be a while, but think about standing around in heaven someday. And I do hope we get at least to know each other or be together. But think about standing around in heaven, talking about how you spent your money in 2017, in 2017. Will there be any of the dollars that you're more glad to talk about than the ones that you were generous with? That's probably going to be the greatest joy. Let's pray. Father, once again, we've just seen the incredible power of generosity. And all it does is just remind us again of what a generous God that you are and how much you've given to us. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be able to trust you. It's a challenge to give away every week or every month a portion of our income to support your work, and yet it helps us recognize that you're the source really of our life and our hope and our future. Father, it can be even a greater challenge to give away to others and to be able to be a blessing to those who might need some of the resources that we have. And I would just pray that you'd continue to really just develop and generate in this church family generous hearts who not only want to bless others, but are ready for that blessing themselves as we learn to be generous and to trust in you. So, Father, take us there as we start with the very first task of simply yielding ourselves to you, giving ourselves to you. Help us to do that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.